Talia, Reese, and Julia do it so well. Shows and tell.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I really wanted to start off this episode with like the quintessential Wildest Dreams string quartet version, because that is so just integral to the Bridgerton series. But we kind of talked about it, and we've been using a lot of music that's like just not ours, and we just don't want to get sued. So
yeah, I don't think Miss Clift would be too happy with that.
No, so I think you're just going to get us describing it. I mean, I can sing, but it's just like if you're just starting off and then I start singing, I feel like it's kind of abrupt, you know? I want you guys to ease into it.
Let me preface by what you were saying with the string quartet. I almost turned off the episode when Wrecking Ball Bridgerton rendition was played. I was like, when it said on the subtitles, classical like cover of Wrecking Ball, I like,
oh my god, Reese, fuck off if we're starting like this.
No, this is how we're starting.
Holy shit.
There are two buttons in front of me. One of them is tranquility and the other is violence, and I choose violence.
Reese always chooses violence.
My jaw is on the floor.
Do always choose violence.
Okay, well, I'll tell you guys that this is Shows and Tell, the podcast where we talk about how your favorite show became your favorite show. Or rather, where we tell you, you know, because that's kind of what we do. I'm Talia.
I'm Julia.
I'm Reese.
And today we are talking about the famed, the popular, the romantic, the burning Bridgerton. Reese just wrote the infamous in the chat, and it's actually quite the opposite. So it's quite famous actually for being really good. And I have a lot of facts to back that up. I do.
Let's, I do. Okay. I'm excited.
Remember that little Netflix show Stranger Things?
Please convert me.
Lots of Netflix recently.
I know. I feel like I like that we've been doing a lot of like important Netflix. I feel like it's I'm not even gonna say timely because it's consistent.
Just relevant. I want to do Orange is the New Black one day. Not this week, but
and this is the part of the episode where we all talk about like what other shows we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Because that's usually at the end, but now it's coming at the beginning.
Yeah. I don't really know what my next show will be.
Yeah, we'll have to brainstorm it some other time. That's not right the second.
No. This is important. Let's do this now. I'm kidding.
So Reese, Julia, and I are having a podcasting workshop this week. So this is our second day in a row recording. So I'm like so eager to hear what happened to you guys today in between us
in the last 24 hours
and today. Any news to report, either of you?
Someone I know got COVID, but I haven't seen them recently.
I'm laughing at like just the deliverance of that line. Like, she's so Kardashian Jenner without even trying.
Well, I was gonna say it just sounds like asking like a kindergarten child like how was today, and they're just like, yeah, it was good. I ate my lunch, and then Billy had to leave early because his grandpa got hit by a car. but it was good, I guess.
We love that energy.
And then my day was fine. I got work done. And then
I saw in your story that you got caught in the rainstorm.
Then I was halfway through my run. Out of nowhere. Nowhere.
Storm cloud
rolled in. Torrential rains. I had to seek refuge underneath a small tree alongside the battery. Woe is me, I shouted. I waved my fist at the clouds until they parted. And like Moses said, let the seas part.
Yeah, that is definitely what Moses said.
T, you just ruined my
Oh, I'm so sorry. Do you want to go again?
No, it's over. I had a little bit left in me, but I ended up finishing my run, came back, got dinner, I showered, and then I watched Bridgerton, and then my day was ruined.
I'm sorry. You cannot have disliked it that much. I had you guys watch.
I okay. Do you know what? I'm okay.
I'm so surprised. I thought Reese was gonna love it.
Okay, so just to get into, like, so just to get into it and everything like that, like, you're going to ask us, like, what we know and, like, blah, blah, blah. Nothing against Bridgerton. I had a feeling I knew what I was going to get going into it, but it was a bit of a letdown, to be honest. That, I think, is why I'm a little upset. Okay. Where a show...
Do you think I just had you watch the wrong episode, or you just, like, felt like it was a letdown?
It might be the wrong episode. That could definitely be it, because I hated the editing. Like, I hated how it just went, like, every 2 minutes they just switched storylines, and I was like...
Oh, okay, okay.
I was like, this is a lot, where, like, they would just have, like, two characters would just have, like, 8 lines, and then switch. And also, yeah. I really... Okay, so there's that I didn't like, that it was just, like, all over the place, narratively. And then another thing I hated was it was shot so boring. The entire thing is just a bunch of medium close-ups, and they're in these beautiful, decadent, like, awesome settings, and literally, watch the entire episode again, 98% of it is...
Oh, I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, they're just shot from, like, the waist up, and it's just, like, suffocating. Where it's like, I want some long shots. I'd like to see some hallways, and I'd like to
see
their dress.
What about, like, the dancing scenes?
The dancing scenes were also just, like...
were beautifully shot.
Oh, I disagree. No, it was dizzying, and no. I genuinely, it was... I think maybe it's the episode, because I keep hearing good things. And, like, you know, I'm all about period pieces. I love a nice, like, love Cyrano, you know.
Yeah.
That came out recently. Like, I love all the things set in the olden times. But yeah, and then also some of the accents were just...
I agree with that. The whole time, like, I was thinking, why are they talking
who's
like that?
Who's accent?
No, so especially the seamstress who was like, no, it is not cool. And I was like...
Well, the part of the thing is that she's not French. She, like, puts it on for the people of the town.
Is that... okay.
She's, like, actually, like, a lesser society, like, English woman. And she just puts on her accent. But they only reveal that, like, once, and I feel like people don't, like, pick up on that.
Well, there's that. A lot of the acting I found laughable. And, like, yeah. it felt less, like, dramatic. Like, I couldn't, like, get into it as more... It felt more soap opera-y. Where, like, at the very end, when What's-Her-Face, the mother, is, like, telling the guy to go away, and then she turns and her lip quivers and she goes... I was like, like, it was like, actually,
I think we have to pause because I think you got to, like, get what's going on.
Give me my bearings. Yeah. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay. So let's get down to the basics. Do you guys know that it's a book series?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about it.
Let's do the basics. Ready? So Bridgerton is a period drama series based on Julia Quinn's collections of novels of the same name. And basically it surrounds itself with the Bridgerton family, and there are 8 children, and all their names go in order A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Disgusting.
Like, blah, 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 of, like, age order.
I think it's cute.
No.
Wait, you guys are going to – I figured out what I'm going to name my kids. I'm not going to say on the pod, but I'll tell you guys separately, and you're going to hate it, Reese.
Is it from this episode?
No, but it's a theme.
Okay, please tell me it's Lady... It's definitely Lady Whistleblower. Lady Whistledown. Whistledown.
I'm going to have 3 girls, and there's a theme with the 3 of them.
Why can't you just say it on the podcast?
I don't want anyone to steal my names.
No one's going to fucking steal your names, Juge.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. No one's going to listen to this podcast 10 years from now, have a child, and they're going to be the names that you said. That is not going to happen.
I don't know. If it does, I'll be pissed.
No, I don't even want to hear the names if you're not going to say them on the podcast.
Okay.
Well, you know who was really original with naming their children? The
Julia
Bridgerton
Quinn?
Parents.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, so each season of the show revolves around the love life of one of the Bridgerton children, and it's all narrated by an anonymous gossip columnist by the name of Lady Whistledown. They don't know who Lady Whistledown is. Shout out, kind of like Gossip Girl meets Pride and Prejudice. So those are...
That's a good way to describe it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Totally. This series is created by Chris Van Dusen, and it's produced by Shonda Rhimes. So it does live in Shondaland. And this is her first scripted show for Netflix. I'm kind of personally surprised that, like, it took her this long to get there. I just feel like... that they make sense together. And yeah, this show is set in the competitive world of Regency era London, in the Ton, during the social season where the marriageable age children of nobility and gentry are launched into society. So we're watching like all of these, they're basically children, all the women like come out into society, and it's their journey of being forced into the marriage season and like being plopped off one by one. And I'm not going to say sold into marriages because they're not sold technically, but like,
so what you're telling me,
coupled off into marriages.
So what you're telling me is that in Regency London, it was mating season.
Yes.
Let's hear it for London mating season.
I absolutely hate that.
Hey, can I sidetrack you for 1 second?
Yes.
Like, on a scale of 1 to 10 in Regency mm-hmm. London, mm-hmm. what do you think our like eligibility would be? Like, how hot of commodities would each of us be? Yeah.
I mean, I want to talk more about like what made somebody eligible and what's made somebody valuable, specifically women. But like Julia, maybe like, what are we doing out of 10?
I'm a little feisty. I feel like I wouldn't be like submissive enough for their like.
Neither of us would
standards.
Be.
Yes.
And we're not like talented, you know?
Wait, you had to have talent?
I'm a good dancer.
Yes.
Wait, what kind of talents?
Well, I'm going to talk about it.
Okay, this is good.
Yeah, this is good. Julia would have, yeah, definitely danced for some men. But yeah, basically, all the seasons kind of start out, and it's like whatever character the season centers around, it starts off of their like, for Daphne, and the first season was centered around Daphne, who is the first daughter, and she is the fourth Bridgerton child, A, B, C, D. It's like the beginning of her coming out into society. She has to present herself in front of the queen at the debutante ball. It's kind of a conversation of like, who's going to be the belle of the ball, aka the diamond of the season. And it's very obvious that she wants this very badly. And like, she's been preparing and waiting and taking dance lessons and taking piano lessons and making herself be the most perfect woman she could possibly be.
Damn, she kind of sounds like Juge.
Oh. That's offensive.
Really?
I was saying the dancing thing. I thought that was funny.
I thought you were saying
Julia. I am a good dancer, and Tali and I did take a dance class together. Yeah,
famously.
Yes.
I thought you were saying that Julia would be the diamond of the season, and I wouldn't be. That's basically what I thought you were saying.
Oh, no. I was making fun of Julia saying that she would be the hottest commodity in Regency-era London because she took a dance class in college.
Yeah, no, but she probably would be.
Are you... Oh, I guess ballroom dancing is a skill.
Yeah. Oh my
God. Ballroom dancing is a skill and talent.
Yeah, and I guess you got to be talented to be married off these days.
That is true.
The real question is, what would Breeze Philly be bringing to the table?
Nothing.
Not much.
No.
You got a title, bro? Didn't think.
No, nothing. No, I'd be like a Theo in the episode. I'd just be like a little
locksmith
servant. Yeah, a little. Oh, yeah. A locksmith? That's awesome.
Yeah. You'd totally be a little locksmith.
I went to the locksmith today. I had to get key copies made.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think I'd be a locksmith, have some, like, flirty, fun relationships with the ladies of London.
I could see Reese being handy like that.
Yeah. So, that's season one. That's Daphne's shtick. Basically, long story short, with, like, her plot line. She meets a duke. The duke used to be friends with her brother in school. They decide that, like, you know, Daphne wants to be really desirable. And, like, how do you become desirable? You have the most attractive and talked about man in the whole town wanting you. And he wants, like, all the moms and the daughters off his back. So he's like, okay, like, let's make kind of a deal. And we're basically going to fake date. And then, obviously, like, they fall in love.
So the she's all that formula.
Oh, yeah, with, like, a lot of sex on screen.
Okay, so, yeah. Another thing, I didn't want to stop you the first 8 times, but I'm going to have to stop you now. I can't let you keep saying ton.
But that's what it is. It's not town, I don't know if you're frozen or if you're just not talking.
No, I'm not frozen.
I'm trying. Did you think that I was saying that I was incorrectly pronouncing town?
I thought you were saying town as they say town.
No, you thought I was putting on an accent?
Yeah, and I was like, is this like, are you like the girl that like at an Italian restaurant is like, I'll have the mozzarella, like, you know, like the...
I hate that.
Cacio e pepe.
Please, you remind me of that girl on TikTok. You must have the same energy.
I'm glad you brought this up, and I do have a list of vocabulary references to kind of explain, like, go a little deeper with you
guys.
Okay, cool.
Can you just explain this one now?
Yes, 110%. So, ton is not town. It's, like, the upper echelon of London society. So, people with titles. So, like, the dukes and the duchesses.
The aristocrats.
Yes, the aristocrats. Basically the upper society.
The aristocracy. So
it's not like the whole town.
Okay. So
and I didn't
just,
know this. I thought they were saying town.
So it's the part of the town that matters is the town.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
The
sorry.
Society. Yeah.
That's confusing.
But you know, I didn't know this either. It is confusing. But there are like just so many rules that you just miss when you don't like look into them. And yeah, I mean, just for a second to talk about like this, like, so the, at first season with Daphne and the Duke, which by the way, like up until now, they've been going in order of the books. So the first book was called The Duke and I, and that's Daphne's story, The Duke and I. The second book is called The Viscount Who Loved Me, which was the name of the episode that we watched, the final episode of season two, and that's Antony's story. And yeah, when season one debuted, it debuted on Christmas Day in 2020, and it was just like a pretty instant big fat hit. Like I remember watching that show. I guess I would have been like coming home from my trip in Israel, and I've just had like plenty of time to be binging shit on my hands. But it debuted on Netflix, and it quickly became the most watched English language series on Netflix at the time of its premiere. And then it was only overtaken by the second season of the show, which debuted on March 25th, 2022. So this is big numbers, Reese. This is bigger than Stranger Things numbers. I just wanted to tell you that. I just wanted to make sure you were aware of that.
Okay. No, I am.
Oh. Now you have nothing to say?
No, nothing.
Oh, now he's quiet.
I'm not going to shit on the entire world.
But yeah, I mean, I think a big reason why season one was so talked about was just like, I mean, one of the biggest reasons was obviously, well, you guys don't know, but there's just a lot of sex scenes. And they do them pretty well. Like they are pretty tasteful. Like they're not so aggressive and they like keep it romantic. And I want to talk a little bit more like in the future about the female gaze, but this whole show is just so aggressively female gaze, and it does that so well that it just hooks the female viewer in such a way. And like in both storylines, like with Daphne's, they have the fake friends, fake relationship to lovers, and it's like they're waiting, they don't want to admit they both actually like each other, and then like once they actually get together, it's like boom, and like that anticipation. And then with the second season, and like you guys, basically, I wanted you guys to watch the final episode of the second season because I feel like that's when, I mean, obviously it's when everything comes together, and I feel like it's like pretty self-explanatory what's going on in the plot. And I don't know if you guys disagreed with that. I think I'm only really thinking about like Antony and Kate because I think anybody who's watched that second season would say that that's all that they paid attention to and all that they cared about. Like, no one gives a fuck about what's happening with Lady Whistledown and the Featheringtons. Like, frankly, no one cares. Like you guys are like, oh, like, it was bad acting when Lady Featherington did this. I'm like, I've watched this season, like, three times now. I don't remember what Lady Featherington ever did. Like, yeah, there was, like, a plot with, like, the cousin, and then she, like, manipulated the cousin. But, like, all I'm really caring about and paying attention to is Antony and Kate.
Well, the cousin was a charlatan, so.
What?
A charlatan.
What does that mean?
Is that not in your vocabulary?
No. Do you want to tell us what it means?
Yeah, let me give you the textbook definitions.
Okay.
Charlatan, a person falsely claiming to have a special knowledge or skill, a fraud.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, he was a fraud. That's what,
I was just bored by it.
That's what the artist Bridgerton brother called him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
also, lovely. So confusing.
Did you love him?
Not really. Because
you just didn't get enough of it. I should have maybe had you guys watch that the first episode of
the pilot. Yeah, there were so many characters that looked alike.
So they're siblings.
Well, yeah, but like you gotta give them like at least distinguishing traits.
Yeah, they were just casted really well.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the second season was explosive. And I think it is because of, like, the second season did not, there was a lot of commentary. And it was like, oh, they didn't give us as much sex as they did in season one. So there was a lot of complaints about that. And it was especially ironic because Antony in season one was, like, seeing this woman and they had a lot of sex scenes. So it was like, why aren't they giving sex scenes with him and Kate, who, like, we actually want to see that? But I think that the enemies to lovers build of it all was actually more, like, erotic, and just watching them, like, not do anything for so long and then finally admitting that they were into each other.
A little televisual foreplay, if you will.
Oh my gosh, yeah, sorry.
Also, yeah, I was gonna say, this show, everyone's always talking about how hot and heavy it is. Yeah. Besides that last scene.
Mm-hmm. No, and that was, there was one other sexual scene between the two of them. But it was just, it was like, the will they, won't they, and there were little scenes of them, like, touching and then realizing that they shouldn't be touching and, like, in a dark room together.
Well, yeah, no, it's like, it's the Pride and Prejudice hand touch and the...
Oh my god. Yeah, which is like more than anything.
No, I know, but it's just like, which I think is really, I like more because it's once again, it's what I'll always say, show, don't tell. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy. Yeah. but yeah, everyone says it's so hot and heavy. Was season one really that sexual?
I mean, it was. Like, it was. I remember specifically that season six was just, like, a bunch of sex scenes kind of compiled together.
Also, was Reggie Jean Page the love interest of season one?
Reggae Jean Page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yes.
I've actually never heard it said aloud, so. I'm not kidding. Yes. I've only ever seen it on paper.
I believe you.
So thank you.
Yes, he was the Duke of Hastings.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay.
And yeah, and then the one other thing that I want to mention about just like the plot in the show for right now is that unlike the books, like I read the second book because I loved second season so much. I didn't really connect with the first season. Like I just didn't. I loved the second season so much that I was like, I need more of this like content. So I went and bought the book. It was 400 pages and I read it in like 5 days.
Wow.
And it was like pretty just much like it was just like kind of just a romantic, like it was pretty porny. Like it was really, really quite something masked in this like Regency era language, and you just kind of had to like decode it. But the plot was so different from the show. And then also a big difference between the show and the books is that the television show is set in an alternate history with a racially integrated London, where people of color are members of the Ton. And the creator of the show, Chris Mandusen, was inspired by a historical debate over African ancestry claims of the real Queen Charlotte. And yeah, and this isn't like a, they've commented a lot. It's not like a piece of historical fact. Like, it's commentary on a time period.
I was going to say, yeah, they're dressing from, like, so many different time periods in it.
Yeah,
and
of course.
There's no accuracy, so it's like, I can't, I don't understand how people could complain about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
But Queen Charlotte was a real queen, and Mandusen wanted to base the show, quote, in an alternate history where Queen Charlotte's mixed race heritage was not only well established, but also was transformative for the Black people and other people of color in England. And it's something that they address in the show. It's not talked about constantly, but the Black characters in the show acknowledge the difference between them and the other members of the Ton.
Interesting. Yeah, because they were also, there's like Kate, like her family's from India. Yeah. And is it like India is still like governed by England in that time? Like, did it keep that the same, or like how does that work? Where it's like a colony.
I couldn't tell.
I was just curious how, because I realize it's not supposed to be historical fiction, but right. I was just curious how historical they were actually going to get, if any. Right. But
specifically with the Sharma family, like they use a lot of vocabulary and they talk a lot about home, and like it's just really, I think, nice to see that integrated into the show, and they're not completely ignoring the fact that it's there. So we have that. I feel like, Julia, you didn't really tell us about your opinion on the show, because Reese has kind of been ramping.
No, it's fine. It's okay. I am the opposite of Reese in that I don't usually love like period pieces. I obviously am very familiar with Bridgerton just because it, I feel like, has played such a big role in pop culture over the last year. But like, I literally went to shout out to Josephine, a Bridgerton themed birthday party, which is so fun. Like, it's so fun.
It looks sick.
I mean, I get why people love that, like the style and like the female gaze and like all everything you were talking about. Like, I love that part of it. Like, I think it's fun. Like, the costumes, I did think the accents were extremely annoying. I couldn't watch the whole show where they're talking like that.
I want to say though, because I just remembered this, like when you, Reese, when you were like, oh, like the acting was bad, like whatever, it's supposed to be cheesy. I actually think like the second season could have been cheesier. Like, the books are so gushy, and that's what they're supposed to be. Like, romance novels are icky. Like, that's what they're. That's,
no, no, they no. I understand.
It, especially it, like a Shonda show, like you just gotta play into it and like eat up the cheese.
No, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of cheesiness.
The acting's
like, I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of cheesiness. I'm a fan of camp. But it felt like it was trying legitimately dramatic at times.
Okay.
Like, and it wasn't like tongue in cheek. It felt as though like
seen other episodes specifically of
maybe
the
account
of like Anthony, he's so witty with like his lines, and they seem so natural, like almost like they're improvised.
No, I'm
especially
like,
with the two of them.
I'm sure like there's some cheeky banter, bruv. But was that good?
Yeah, it was great. I can only just assume that you have kept up with your Love Island vocab a year and a half later.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I do think, yeah, maybe if I had watched a full season, I'd be thinking differently. But from that one episode alone, I was like, oh, this feels like a stage production, like a high school stage production.
I wanted you guys to watch this beautiful union of Kate and Anthony coming together. But I guess if you hadn't watched the whole intense build-up. Oh
no, I could
it's
care
such
less.
Such a beautiful build-up. I loved it.
Also, why the hell was she passed out on the floor at the beginning of the episode?
Because they had sex. Do you understand that like he was supposed to marry her sister?
Yes.
You got that from that episode?
Oh no.
He was supposed to marry her sister. He was like courting her younger sister the whole episode. And then as he was courting her, and like the whole time, like Kate hates him. And Edwina, the younger sister, is like, why are you so against the union? And she's like, he's just not a good guy, blah, blah, blah. She like obviously just like starts, they're spending so much time like arguing that they obviously start to be into each other. Meanwhile, Anthony has this whole complex about how he doesn't believe in love or like want to be in a love-filled marriage
because of his mom.
And because of his mom and his dad passed away, and his mom and dad were very in love, and it was so heartbroken by his father's passing away, and he watched his mom grieve his father for the rest of his life, and he's like, I don't want to do that. I have responsibilities as the new Viscount. So he's like, if I marry Edwina, I'll just have this simple life and I'll just like fulfill my duties. But then when he meets Kate, that messes everything up. So it's a really big deal that they overcome, both of them, both Kate and Anthony, like overcome this like sense of pride that like that they don't feel like they deserve to like actually experience love. That's why it's such a big deal that they get together at the end.
Yeah, I guess that checks out, because Edwina was like, I just wish you told me. I feel like I don't even know you. And I was like, also, Edwina, I thought, was like the younger sister and much younger.
Yeah, she, in the show, she was supposed to be, well, in the show, Kate says she's 26, which I think would have been like legit way too old to actually be in this scenario.
I was gonna say 26. At that point, you're already a grandma. I mean,
no, and they say that. And in the book, I think she was 22, and they're like, oh my God, she's so old. We talked a little bit about, also, I know, like, we've been making like these dancing jokes, but I did want to chat a little bit about like the rules of the society, because I just, spoiler alert, in the book, what ends up happening, and it's very different from what happens in season two of the show. Anthony and Kate are like arguing. She gets stung by a bee and he's like helping tend to the wound. And Lady Danbury and Lady Bridgerton and Lady Featherington all find them, and he's like has his hands all over her. And in Regency era England at the time, a man and a woman unwed were not allowed to be alone together. So they're like, oh my God, you guys were alone together. You have to get married, because that was the rules. So that was crazy, because that propels the book into this totally different direction, because they're like, okay, yeah, like, I guess we're going to get married. And they get married like in the middle of the book. And that's also a plot point in a different plot point in season two, like the Featheringtons basically trap the cousin into marrying one of the daughters, because if people find a man and a woman alone together, it's up to the girl's decision if she wants to, in fact, marry that man.
I like that it's the girl's decision.
Same. It's like the only loophole.
Is that historically accurate?
Yeah, I think so. Or at least it is in the show. Like that's a rule in the ton in the show.
Good.
It's like that's the girl's decision. But something that else that sat with me with the show is that these girls are just getting shipped off.
And wait, like, I have a question. You might have, this might be stupid, but how old are they supposed to be?
Like teenagers.
Damn. I mean, like I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
But
so it's like you have a girl like Daphne who's been waiting her whole life to come out into society, but then you have like a girl like her sister Eloise who's dreading it and just genuinely wants to like travel the world like a guy and make her own decisions and not be confined into the rules of society. And it just like freaks me out. I know it's like no surprise or no secret, but it just freaks me out so much to think about the scary lack of autonomy that women had over their own lives. And they were basically property. Like they were put out into this, like they jokingly call it the marriage mart on the show, but it's really a market, and like, you know, men choose who they want.
Yeah. I mean, it still happens to this day in a lot of
cultures. Yeah. And like, think about like Judaism.
With Orthodox
matchmakers, and like, it's fully like a commerce.
I know,
nuts.
And and they did, like, it was like if they have more skills, and also Phoebe Dinevor, who played Daphne Bridgerton, commented about how she had to learn certain skills, like when they were on set. It was like her schedule said horse riding on Monday and piano lessons on Tuesday, and etiquette training, because they had to like actually be representatives of the time period. And also just,
I had
like,
no clue that was where Phoebe Devener is from. That's what she's famous for?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I had never put that together.
Think?
No, I just had never thought about it. but no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in middle school, like kids in my school would take like ballroom dancing and like etiquette classes.
I remember at the beginning of the second season when the Sharmas like first come to town, and Lady Danbury is like evaluating them basically. they're like, okay, so what can you do? And Edwina's like, I can speak French and I can play, I think it's the violin. Like, and Kate's listing all her talents, and it's genuinely like a prized horse going off into the horse show. But they do they also do have their scenes of like the men coming in, and they have one scene where Edwina makes all the men come in and do their own thing, and like Lord Viscount Bridgerton has to do like a poem. And so they make the men do their shit too. I think in general, they just were super heavy on the importance of the manners and the skills and the talent and the musical and the singing. And it's just very interesting. Can you guys imagine, like, if this were now, like, what skills would we have to bring to the table? Like, I have no rhythm.
We have podcasting skills.
I can cook okay. Like, I'm pretty okay at cooking and whatnot.
No, same. I could cook. I'm good at interior decorating.
These are definitely all things we could be bringing to a ball.
He's not. Reese's thinking about my boob art.
Like, oh yeah.
The boob art stays in the conversation. I guess since we're on the topic of the dancing, I want to talk about like the dancing and the music and the balls and how it's become so quintessentially Bridgerton. So you're telling me you did not like, what song did you say that they were playing that you didn't like?
Wrecking Ball.
Wrecking Ball? You didn't think that was so like...
I think it's cool how they take the modern songs and make them
yeah
like Bridgerton-esque.
No, it takes me entirely out of it. Like, it's supposed to be a made-up, it's supposed to be a made-up world. Like, I don't need them to bring in, like, this is not a show that I need pop culture. Like,
but every like old timey show can be that. Like, I think this is what sets it aside. And this is one of the big things people have commented on and said that they've loved.
No, I get that. But it's like Bridgerton like exists in its own universe. Like, it's not historical fiction.
Right.
And like, yeah, they could have fun with it. But like, I don't know. Playing Wrecking Ball, which is just like a radio pop song, really takes me out of like any sort of important scene that's like they're trying to have happen. And I'm sure many people disagree.
Yeah.
And like, I'm probably in like the minority here, but like, for me, I just like rolled my eyes. Like, it, and also maybe it's different if I had watched the full season. Maybe I'm like, oh my god, they're finally dancing together in public. And like, yeah, watching it as like a first time watcher, it to me was just like, okay, like, this is, they could have chosen any other song and they went with Wrecking Ball.
I find it very interesting that it's taking you out of these scenes, because I really had the opposite experience. I feel I'm really not one to notice the, usually like not one to notice the score of a television show, maybe a movie a little bit more. But when I think of certain scenes, there's this scene between Kate and Anthony, and it's their first time dancing together, and it's like kind of their first time actually acknowledging that there's something between the two of them. And Dancing on My Own by Robin, like in the string quartet, like classical version, is playing in the background, and it's incredibly like suspenseful. And I it's very ingrained in my mind, and I didn't even like have to look up what song was playing in the background of that scene, because I just like, it's paired together. And also there's a scene, obviously, like, I'm going to remember this one, but the scene when Edwina, the sister, and the Viscount are about to get married, like, Sign of the Times is playing on the court, on the strings, like, as they're coming down the aisle. And it's also just very dramatic and eerie. And I find it really special and unique. And for me, it really connected the scenes and the actions of the scenes with the music, and like brought, like kept me there.
No, I get that. I just find it distracting. I just find it distracting, where it's like, I'm like, what you're saying, where it's like, I didn't know Edwina and Anthony were going to get married, but I'm sure if I was watching it and I'm like, oh my God, is he going to go through with it? And then I hear like a Harry Styles song, I'd be like, wait, what? That would be distracting for me. Like, I love Sign of the Times. Don't get me wrong. Great song.
I'm like, the Sign of the Times. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, no. That, for me, is just, it doesn't do it. And I'm all for having fun music. It just, that, I don't know. Yeah. Also, how did he get out of that marriage? Or, like, before?
So he... Basically, Kate walks down the aisle first.
Yes.
They have very intense eye situation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Edwina walks down the aisle, and she's, like, looking stunningly beautiful. And then Kate drops, like, a bracelet, and Anthony rushes down to get it. And they, like, touch hands, and they're, like, locked in eyes. And then Edwina's like, oh. And then she runs off. And then that's that.
Damn. Poor Edwina.
Poor Edwina, but everyone also says, like, Edwina's, like, kind of a dumbass if she, like, couldn't tell. Like, they were legit, like, eyeing each other the whole time. Like, it was so... She also, the whole time, she was like, why don't you talk to the Viscount more? Like, you should be, like, getting to know him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah! She's like, oh, she'd be nice if...
She pushed them on each other.
Yeah. Do you know what? Shout out to my girl, Eddie. Justice for Eddie.
I hate her name.
Oh, my God. We have to talk about... We have to talk about the... I think... I haven't spoken enough about, like, the Viscount and Anthony and also Jonathan Bailey. And you guys know I'm a pretty obsessive person.
You are, indeed.
One in my obsessions and my fandoms. And I love being a fan and a fangirl. It's just something that I, like, refound after the pandemic, and it's a part of who I am. I don't think something has hit me this hard. Like, he was very much second to Harry for, like, a solid 4 weeks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, are we getting into the female gaze discussion?
Yeah, I think we should get into it.
Yeah, I'm
down. Okay.
Because I think it's, like, more than 50% of the reason that the show is successful.
No, I agree. Like, there was that whole thing. What was that, like, that big quote he had that was making the rounds on Twitter? Where he's like, there is not a place on heaven. Yeah. Or hell. Like,
it's like, but there is not a place on earth.
Oh, I will seek you out. I will find
you. That's not what it is. Creepy.
Yeah, no, that's how I read it. I was like, no, it's all over TikTok. Hold and on. Like, yeah, it's basically the Pride and Prejudice, like, you have bewitched me body and soul.
Yeah, like
that,
yeah, yeah.
It's that speech. Like, yeah.
Well, first of all, he keeps calling himself a gentleman when he's not one. Like, every time he, like, almost hooks up with her, he's like, but I am a gentleman, just to, like, bring himself back down to earth. And it's like, King, are you?
Yeah. Like, oh, what a
do you think there's a corner of this earth that you could travel to far away enough to free me from this torment?
Yeah, it's that. I love the TikTok acting where it's like, do you think there's...
Oh, yeah, it's disgusting.
They just come in so strong. Also, it's that. And then I always see him coming out of the lake.
The water.
And the thinnest shirt.
Oh, my God.
There is maybe 8 fibers in that shirt.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. When like, the creators and the producers of Bridgerton were thinking about, like, how are all these men going to be portrayed, they thought a lot about, like, Colin Firth in Pride and Prejudice. And, like,
you know, I was in the play Pride and Prejudice in 9th grade.
No, I didn't know.
I was in the play.
Acting queen. Adding that to her list of skills when she's
exactly
put out into the marriage mart.
I don't even remember who I played.
Oh, I always think of not the Colin Firth Pride and Prejudice, but the Matthew McFadden from Succession Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, I mean, there's both of them. It's very strange, guys, because I did not realize that, like, that was Tom Wamgans. I think we talked about this on the Succession episode.
Yes.
And then I had this, like, realization, and I was like, wow, everyone is thirsting over Tom Wamgans. Like, what do you guys have to say for yourselves? Like, this is something. But they're just like, is this inherent horniness around this time period and, like, specifically men in this time period? And they're leaning into it as they should be. And I also think it's, like, current day and age, and the reason that, like, current television shows don't encapsulate me as much is, like, they're not romantic. Like, this shit is fucking romantic. Like, they're pledging their lives to each other. Like, there's
this shit rated porn.
There are things at stake. Like, it's dramatic. It's, like,
I love that
intense.
About
it. Like, obviously, it's gonna hook the girlies up, you know? And like, he's saying everything that every girl wants to hear in this absolute perfectly sculpted way. And he looks amazing. And like, they've just like styled him just perfectly for us, it feels. And it's really created this frenzy around Jonathan Bailey. And it was the same frenzy that was surrounding Reggae Jean Page after the first season. And obviously when Reggae Jean Page didn't return for the second season, everybody was like, is this going to be as good as it was? And in fact it was, because people did not know what was coming for them. And then there's this whole thing about like, holy shit, Jonathan Bailey is gay. So like, we're all thirsting over this gay man. And like, is it respectful that all these like, people
he's
who
gay?
Love men. Yes. Yes. He's gay. No, isn't that funny? And just like a slap in the face.
It really, like the producers are casting really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing with a Fleabag.
Chemistry.
But think about Fleabag. Oh. The hot priest is Andrew, what's his name? Andrew Scott? He's gay.
Yeah. And Reese. Jonathan Bailey was in have you heard of Crashing?
Yes.
It's Jonathan Bailey was in it. Did you see it?
Oh no, I didn't know that.
He was one of the main actors.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
and he plays this like incredibly different, like shockingly different, like very flamboyant, very outwardly sexual character who's coming into his own sexuality and dealing to terms with it. And he's very endearing and he's just like fantastic. But interesting that he lives in the Phoebe Waller-Bridge universe.
Yeah, the PWBCU.
The PWBCU. And the internet, like half of my TikTok feed, I know this always happens every time we have like a big, big show, but more than half of my feed was just Anthony Bridgerton fan edits. And let me tell you guys, I watched everyone to completion. I didn't skip a single one.
Love that.
And every girl was like, this is like the worst it's been that a fictional cat, the worst hold a fictional character has had on me. And like,
maybe God, it's because it's long. Unrealistic. Like, I feel like if it was realistic, that would kind of ruin the illusion a little bit.
Right.
And the fantasy.
Totally. And also just the conversation, like, Phoebe Dinavore is now kind of this like in the culture dated Pete Davidson for like a second. Did you know that, Reese?
No.
Oh, you just assume at this point that somebody's been dating Pete.
I was gonna say, like, don't check tomorrow's headlines because you might read something bad about me.
Oh my God.
Reese Feldman breaks up Pete and Kim.
Imagine. I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I could low-key see Reese with, like, a power woman like Kim.
I can't.
I don't know if I should be offended by either of those statements. I think I'm going to accept Julia's as a compliment, where it's like, oh, I would 100% love to be second fiddle to, like, Doja Cat. Oh my God. Would love that.
You do love Doja Cat, don't you?
Who doesn't love Doja Cat?
I would take 15 years off my life to be in the same room that she was in, like, a week prior.
Yeah, I just think that, like, the four romantic leads, also we haven't even talked about Simone Ashley, who is just, like, genuinely one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. She plays Kate.
Oh, yeah, she's gorgeous. Jesus Christ.
I mean, she's...
Yeah, they're all gorgeous.
Stunning. Did you guys see her at the Met Gala?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
No.
She just... Oh, my God. She's just flawless. I think those four, I think this is, like, they've both been in little things here and there. This is all four of their first really big thing. Reggae Jean Page was actually in another Shonda show, so he's... the ladies are used to looking at him, but I think that this is the beginning of like a really, really big career for all four of them. Like, I think we're gonna.
I was gonna say she. It like I literally had. To, I was like, oh, she looks identical to the girl in Sex Education, but no way it's her, because in Sex Education she is such she's such a minor character, and I was like,
I know. And she told Sex Education she can't do it anymore because she's continuing Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
So she's not going to be in sex education anymore.
I was curious because, yeah, that's such a bit part for her that, like, they'd have to, like, actually up the ante.
I know.
Because now she's too big, yeah, to play aside.
So, yeah, so they're huge and they're keeping it in the culture. The last thing I kind of want to talk about in terms of, like, pop culture, really cool stuff. Like, you guys both know about the unofficial Bridgerton musical, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, I didn't know about that.
Grammy winning.
Yeah, so for those of you guys who don't know, basically these two musical artists that are kind of, well, now they're big on TikTok, Abigail Barlow and Emily Bear. Abigail is a singer and Emily Bear is the composer. They basically created this whole, a whole musical with, you can go listen to it. It's like a whole ass soundtrack. It's called the Unofficial Bridgerton Musical. It's based off of the first season, so it's like Daphne's story, but it's, you know, all the characters have a song. She sings all of them. And it started, there's this iconic line in the first season where Simon says to Daphne, "I burn for you." So she took that line and she just like made a little song out of it on TikTok. And it was like, what if Bridgerton was a musical? And then, you know, created the song. And I actually, when I hear that line now, I only hear the song because the music is that good. It's really good. Like, I listen to it on my free time just because I want to. And they won a fucking Grammy. They won.
Yeah, that's
they
so won, fucking cool.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This year they won a Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album, which is crazy.
That's like, crazy.
Just shows the power of TikTok and the internet.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's really good. You guys should go listen to it.
I will.
Okay, I want to throw some fun facts and then vocab kind of like rapid fire at you guys.
Let's do it.
Number one, Julie Andrews.
Queen. Queen.
Voices Lady Whistledown.
I love that. And also, I love Julie Andrews because I was obsessed with Eloise at the Plaza when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And obviously, she plays Nanny. And I just love her. And Mary Poppins.
And the hills are alive
with the sound of music.
Oh, with I mean, songs from
us. Keep
going.
No, I was done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like everyone loves Julie Andrews.
This episode of Bridgerton sponsored by.
I wanted to like be my grandma.
That was a pretty decent high note.
No, I honestly, you were on key. Like, it was good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. The cast and crew, I loved this one. The cast and crew called the Featherington the Regency Kardashians because it's like these three oddball. I mean, the Kardashians aren't oddballs, but these three like eclectic daughters. I'm the mom who's like managing them.
That's funny.
Love that.
You know what TikTok I love when they're like, what is your Bridgerton name? It's like the street you grew up on. Plus ton plus whatever like
it mine would work. I grew up on Tower Drive. Tower Ton sounds like that would be a good last name.
It's like Lady Tower. It's like Lady
Tower Ton.
No, it there's the whole TikTok, you have to look it up.
Oh wait, mine would work. Lord Cold Harborton. That's actually good.
Mine. I grew up on I grew up on a few different, actually the main street I grew up on was Grosvenor. Grosvenor 10.
You know, like Grosvenor Square is like a thing.
It is?
In London.
I think I knew that.
It's like a famous place in London.
Well, that's fun. I like that. Wait, so is what's her face? I'm blanking on her name. Penelope?
Yeah.
Is she one of the daughters?
Yes. Guys, wait. It's actually crazy that I can't believe I haven't mentioned this up until now. It's crazy that we're doing this episode today because they announced this morning.
Just announced her
Colin
love story,
and Penelope's story is next. Which, by the way, that is going out of order because in the books, the next one is Benedict and his lady. So they're going out of order, but I think it makes sense with the direction that the show is going. And then the last fun fact, which I love this because it kind of just like brings current England into old England. There's this famous scene in season one where Simon reveals his actual feelings for Daphne because they're like explaining why they need to get married quickly to the queen. And they're in the queen's palace And the scene almost didn't happen because Queen Elizabeth needed the space at London's Lancaster House where it was shot to host an event. So it wasn't going to happen. They ended up like having the time for it and they had to like just like quickly wrap up. So I love the Queen of England almost prevented
factoring this, it.
Like, yeah, I love that she was just like loosely involved.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's cool.
The Queen is canon in the Bridgerton universe.
Oh, yeah, I love that. And as she should be, like, that just makes sense. And then vocab, I guess I'm only going to, like, my two favorite ones are Burns for. So, like, what Simon says to Daphne, like, Daphne genuinely doesn't know what being horny is because these girls have never been taught about sex in their entire lives. And he's like, no, girl, like, I burn for you. She's like, why are you talking to me? Like, do you hate me? Like, you hate me that much? He's like, no, no, girly, I burn for you. She's like, what does that mean? And basically it just means like he's super horny for her.
I'm going to start saying that.
You should. And then my personal 110% favorite vocabulary word of the whole show is rake. And the first episode of the second season is titled capital R rake. And then, like, the book also kind of begins with a Lady Whistledown snippet talking about how Antony is, like, this, like, capital R rake. And rake basically means, like, a man whore and a guy who's really been around the ton, as they say. And
no,
just, like,
do you know what that actually, everybody? Because it's, like, a garden hoe, like a hoe, and then a rake.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
I've definitely heard that before.
And I love how they're like capital R. It's just so funny to me. Like, I feel like we would say it now.
Why hasn't it become more popular?
I don't know. Do you want to bring it back with me?
Yeah. I know some rakes.
I think we should do it. So that's like what I have for you guys. I tried to like get as much in there as possible.
Loved it.
I'm glad you guys had like open-ish mind. And I understand that it's not for everybody, but I think you can appreciate like how this is really just like a perfect storm bait for like, I mean, I would say guilty pleasure, but I'm not guilty.
No.
Just like I don't think you need to be.
It seems like nice viewing and I feel like it's going to end happily and it's fun to watch and it's fun to discuss. Yeah, no hate to the people that like it. I just, I don't think for me. I'm not.
I was opposed. Emo. I was like crying at the end.
I'm not opposed to ever watching it again, but it's just not something I'm dying to watch.
Okay, so maybe we'll see, like how the third season goes. I'm gonna keep reading the books. The books are good.
The books are
enjoyable, and I've actually been on the hunt for the third.
Maybe book. I'll read them. I feel like I'd enjoy the books more than the movie, or more than the show, because I wouldn't have to hear their stupid accents.
Oh my gosh, Julia, you can borrow mine.
Oh, I'm down. Let's have a little book club.
Okay. Down to chat about it. Do you guys want to compare?
Let's start.
I have nothing, so you could just take the reins. Yeah, you could just take the reins.
I did this with my roommate Emily last night when I was writing the outline. We were like, okay, so we were thinking about Reese. We were thinking about the brothers, and we were like.
No, don't give me a brother. They're fucking boring.
Okay, first of all, they're just not boring. Colin's a little boring this far. Benedict is far from boring. Benedict is hysterical. But I was like, I could see him having a little Colin. I could see him having a little Benedict. I don't align you with Antony, obviously. But then we really got down to it. We understood that Reese has really Lady Whistledown with his little, hey guys, it's Reese again.
He's just
narrating the fuck out of everything.
I was gonna say, I'm a very big people watcher. Like, yeah. I really love,
You're
I love
an observer.
I was gonna say, I'm an observer, fly on the wall. I don't like to share intimate details of my life. I like to observe and give surface level stuff. But what I like is the deep stuff of other people. So I'm happy with that. And if I'm voiced by Julie Andrews,
yeah, I mean, that's a big compliment to you.
With songs from above. Okay.
Dear best, like, dear reader.
Dear reader.
Oh, that was perfect.
That was great.
It appears that in another week of delinquency, Juge has hit the streets of Manhattan.
Guys, wait, I have been really tame recently.
Julia has gone feral once again.
Julia has gone feral once again. Is it the temperature raising, or is it the rakes that are raising?
Guys, I'm
really actually very dirty.
I'm in my grandma era right now.
I thought that was pretty saucy delivery.
No, that was saucy, and also I'm just like really thinking about what you just said, and
I did love it.
Crazy. Yeah, no, it was that was fully sexual innuendo right there. Yeah.
Okay, so for Jude, I feel like you're not gonna find this as hysterical as I am, but
well, I just don't know the characters that well, but you have to give it.
I know you're very Lady Danbury. So okay, Lady Danbury is this like older, rich, widowed woman who basically like. sponsors the Sharma family, like they come in from India.
Did we see her in this episode?
You definitely did. Like she was,
which one was
definitely, she was like probably with Lady Bridgerton at the end. It was like,
who was the one that was who was the one that was doing coke on the couch?
Oh, that was Queen Charlotte.
The queen was doing coke.
Yes
Jesus
Christ. I know that's like really glossed over, and they like legit never talk about it. She's just like doing it wild. But Lady Danbury is so smart but like mischievous.
Guys, I have like the I sound so crazy on this podcast.
I don't know, Juge.
We know you for who you truly are.
I don't know, Juge. You know what they say, consistent luck is a skill. Well, consistent character comparisons as batshit crazy people.
Wait, I'm not.
I don't.
She's not crazy at all. She's like really smart. She just like is kind of the
mischievous.
She's kind of the puppet master. Like she gets the Duke and Daphne together. Okay. She says to Kate, like, "Lady, like oh, I like know that. You love the Viscount." Like,
Juge is a sneaky little bugger.
Yeah, she's sneaky and kind of just like in the front, but in the back, and like. Is kind of just like
and then the okay I have it. One for Talia. Talia is the seamstress.
Shut
with
the
shitty
up.
French accent.
That is not cool. No, I asked Emily who I was, and she was like, you're obviously Eloise, who's the like,
oh, I liked Eloise.
I love the
she's
name
just
Eloise.
Like yeah, she against has... she's very against society. I don't think that if I was in that place I would be that against society, because I'd be so scared to like
be a radio rebel.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little scared. I don't think I'm like 110% Eloise, and I like doing girly shit, and she just like hates everything that is feminine.
Would you have bangs though?
No, I think I would look so fucking bad in bangs. By the way, that actress is, she looks so young, right? She's like 30. Claudia Jesse.
What? Oh my god, her and Joe Keery should date.
I just looked her up. She looks very young.
And she is so fucking good. But that's what Emily. But I do see. Yeah. Oh, Julia also has a bit of Lady Featherington in her, and I'm not going to elaborate. That is her crazy side.
I'll take it.
I'll take it. Julia Featherington. That's all I have for you guys. I feel like I just kind of spat my Bridgerton opinions. For an hour, but my wrapping thoughts are like this. I think this show, it's already renewed for obviously season 3 and season 4. Like, I think they're gonna do all the books. I think this show's gonna be around for a very long time. I think it's gonna only grow its fan base. And I think it's a money winner for Netflix and Shonda. And I'm anticipating more Shonda shows on Netflix after this. And I just think it's a big fat hit.
I will end on one thing. I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say that the success of the show might also be its failure, where it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if the bigger these people get, the quicker they want to get out of there.
But the way that the show is like,
well, I guess it switches because like, then you don't, you're like, what's it called? Yeah. Kate is not going to be in the show as much.
Yeah, like
next
season. I'm sure that they're going to show Kate and Anthony, because Kate and Anthony were such aggressive fan favorites that obviously they're gonna like put them in a bit more than they would.
Yeah, but it's not gonna. But they're not the focus.
Five, they're not like hardly gonna be in it, like because it's
oh shit.
And,
yeah.
and the younger
no,
cast
right.
members are gonna grow up on the show. Like you already saw Jeffrey. Wait.
Yeah, the little brother.
Okay, it's Anthony, Anthony, Benedict, Colin, Daphne, Eloise, Francesca, who they're replacing that actress, Gregory, Hyacinth, A, B, C, I'm counting, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, that's it. Hyacinth is the last one. And yeah, so I think like they'll launch the actors as they go, and it'll be kind of like a Shameless situation where like the youngest kids are going to have a bigger storyline when they're older.
Yeah, they'll step up.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I should do Shameless for the next show.
I love Shameless.
I hate Shameless.
You do?
It's the same thing with Euphoria. I just hate watching people who are messy.
Oh, I mean, it's an icky show.
Yeah, it's a messy show where it's like
the OG icky show.
Yes. And it's like, I've seen episodes and I'm like, oh, this is really good. But it's just something I don't enjoy watching because there's just always stuff going on. There's like people having like really this sex with people that they shouldn't be. And it's just like, ew, please. Yeah. Like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah. Bridgerton is like the opposite of that. It's just so much like desire and pleasantness.
Do you know what? Maybe season three, whenever it comes out, I'll give it a go. And like, honestly, I might end up, should I start season one?
Maybe try season one. Maybe you'd like it.
I might give it a go.
I don't know. It's just a good little mindless thing. I mean, if you're not going to make like, to have in the background.
I was going
to
say, it seems like good background, yeah. Like a nice airplane show.
Yeah, it's a great airplane show. Do you guys have any grievances since the last time we chatted?
Honestly, I think I got all my grievances out yesterday.
No, I could definitely think of one.
Go for it, Reese.
Dryers not drying in the full cycle.
Yes.
Like,
wait, I actually agree with that.
I'm paying to have my clothes dried, so you're going to have to charge me for like 10 minutes of an extra drying cycle because your dryer is not properly functioning. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
Monopolies, not a fan of those. the electrical, like the power system in the United States sucks.
I think we need an infographic of every grievance that we've ever stated. I think like that's a...
We should just have a Google Doc of like, you know how like Kanye West made that list of people he hates?
Yeah.
We just need a list of grievances.
Yeah, it wasn't Stormy on the list.
No, he tweeted, "I hate that bitch Stormy."
Yeah.
That was so
I thought that was a meme until very recently.
I don't care.
It is a meme.
I don't care if that's
no,
I don't care if that's real or fake. I don't care. No, don't ruin it for me. I want that to be real. And like,
no, even though I know it's fake,
I know that he's like, he needs help, but like, I love the idea that he's like, I don't like that bitch Stormy about a toddler.
No, he goes, I low-key don't fuck with that bitch Stormy.
Oh my god.
Wait, I think it's real.
I thought Stormy looked really
cute. I low-key don't fuck with that bitch Stormy.
No, it's not. No, it's really not real, I'm telling you.
Really?
I thought it was real. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, yeah, I think it's real. Okay, this is what the listeners have to do because we haven't done a code word in a while. If you made it this far, you have to DM us if I low-key hate that bitch Stormy is real or not. Somebody has to get and send us the receipts.
I'm not a fan of Courtney and Travis's wedding.
Okay.
Okay, we're done.
No Kardashian slander.
Hey. Should I sing us out or should I like whistleblower us out?
Lady whistleblower us out.
Take it away.
Well, I believe that's all for today, my young chaps and ladies. What should my parting words be?
I got something. The diamond of the season.
And the diamond of the season is none other than our very own Juge.
Oh!
Yes. So
that is not nice.
So, as the temperatures... Oh, I'm sorry. I'll do... excuse me. Scratch that. And the diamond of the season is our very own Talia.
Yay!
So, as the temperatures rise, as do the tensions, be sure to stay feral, my listeners. For romance.
And let's all have a feral
for
summer.
Romance is upon us.
Oh my god. Reese, you should narrate a Bridgerton book with that accent.
I think it's like
let's get in touch with Julia Quinn.
Yeah, I think I have some fun accents.
You do.
Do you want to hear my Shaggy before we leave?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Scoob, let's get out of here. It's pretty good, right? Like,
I think we've heard that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Really?
I've definitely heard that before. Yeah.
Do Scooby.
That's pretty good. And then, wait, let me do my Christopher Walken. Two boys, two mice fell in a bucket of cream. That's all
you
I got.
You want to hear my Elmo?
Yes.
Oh
my god.
Give us a warning next time. Do you guys want to hear my Kourtney Kardashian?
Yeah, and then we're done.
Okay, just guys, I literally think we're done recording for today.
That's good. Yeah.
I have to go make out. Say I have to go make out with Trav.
I have to go make out with Trav, and Penelope and Mace are going to be there.
Ew.
And that's that.
And that's all we have for you guys today.
Good job. Well, this is, and these are, guys, we're adding these to our talents when we're shipped off for marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It all comes
we're
together.
Just entertainers.
Yeah, when the girl, when Daphne asked me to do my Shaggy voice.
That's what hooks her in the end.
Yeah. Do it to Ken Vreese.
That really, that gave her the burns.
Guys. Okay.
Like Daphne.
All right.
What are you doing with all that ass?
Okay, my little rakes.
We'll leave it there.
We are leaving it there. Bye.
Bye.